Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Fun, entertaining, knowledgeable.
All right.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Right.
Live and local, it's time for the Fan Morning Show with Bart Winkler.
AM, The Fan. I'm Bart Winkler. Ryan Horvath. We've got week 7 in the NFL. It is underway. Packers-Texans is the one we're looking at. There was a change in the schedule, however. If you were excited for Tampa Bay and Las Vegas, that was the Sunday night game. That's been moved to the late game Sunday afternoon, and Seahawks-Cardinals will now be Sunday night because they're not entirely sure the Raiders game is going to get played. So they moved it just in case to ensure there will be a Sunday night game. So Sunday night now is no longer Tampa and Vegas. It is Seattle and Arizona. Should still be a good game. And that's fine because Brady, I think, is in prime time like for the next 5 weeks anyway. So we'll live. Hopefully that game is played. We'll have more updates throughout the rest of the day and throughout the rest of the weekend. Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath, Nick Costos joining us. You better, you bet. Radio.com app. I know you're a Giants guy, big Giants guy. We're going to start there because to start the show today, I came in with this very specific thing that I wanted to talk about, and then so did Horvath, and it both ended up being the same thing. Is we think that Danny Dimes is good, and he did not blow the game last night. Yeah, he fumbled, but Evan Engram should have caught that. I know you're distraught. I'm surprised you're even out of bed today as a Giants guy. Tell us about how are you is my question.
Well, you know, first off, it's great to be on with you guys and, of course, the great people of Wisconsin. Right. So appreciate coming on the show. Listen, it sucked. It was bad, you know, and, like, I kind of look at myself as, like, a really, like, rational sports fan. I'm 37 years old. Like, when I grew up, I was pretty psychotic with all my teams. But, you know, time goes on and time in the sports media, you kind of lose the fandom a little bit, but like it claws back at times. Like, you know, I was pretty beaten up a couple Fridays ago, in fact, when the Yankees lost to the Rays, and pretty annoying fact. It's funny, you know, my girlfriend goes to sleep early, and in the morning, you know, she asked me the morning after the Yankees game, like, what happened, and I said, the Yankees lost in devastating fashion. And then this morning, she's like, what happened to the Giants? And I was like, they lost in devastating fashion. She's like, you say that a lot. Well, it's kind of like what happened. So it's just kind of like, it was brutal, man. It was bad. And, I don't even know what to say. It just sucked. I'm 21-10 with, like, 4 minutes to go, lose by one. Pretty annoying. And, like, the sequence of events that occurs in order for it to happen is just, like, stunning. Like, one of those things doesn't happen and the Giants lose the game, win the game. But, you know, this happens every week. And I kind of got sucked into thinking they could maybe, you know. And they still might. They still might be able to contend in that terrible division. So, you know, we'll see. I don't think the season's over like in a normal division it would be, but not in this crappy division. As far as Daniel Jones goes, I did think he played well last night. And look, I got to tell you, man, and Bart, I think like we're kindred spirits in this regard. Social media really pisses me off, man, because it's like all the Twitter comedians, right, that think they're like the second coming of Richard Pryor are going to be out there on Twitter. Like, oh, let me post Daniel Jones falling on this run with some clever caption. And by clever, I mean something that 100,000 other people have written, so I can get some clout, some 3 likes and a retweet off your stupid tweet that's not funny. I can't wait for that today. Like all the comedians out there, all the Dave Chappelle's on Twitter that are out there, they're retweeting the Daniel Jones video. I'm with you, man. Daniel Jones did not lose the game last night. He has not played great this season, but he was good last night. So, you know, I think next Monday will be a test. You mentioned Tom Brady and all those games in primetime. Giants host the Bucs next Monday night. So let's see what happens against what's arguably the best defense in football. And I think Packers fans know that all too well after last week, next Monday night when the Giants host the Buccaneers.
You'll like the tweet that I already saw this morning. It's the Giants. It's like the chart of their winning percentage, and then it drops, and Daniel Jones is falling down that proverbial cliff.
See, so that one's actually clever. Like, that's actually clever. Like, there was some thought and creativity put into that, other than some schmuck out there who's like, yeah, let me share the video of Daniel Jones falling down with 2020 in a nutshell. Great. That's real original. I haven't seen anyone tweet that before. You know, it was that, and then, like, what's a bigger cluster tonight, the Giants and the Eagles or the presidential debate? It's like, great. Why don't you come up with something original, guy or girl? Give me something original. The Twitter comedian, I'm just pissed off this morning.
I'll tell you, I almost started the show. We get on an hour before you come on. I almost started in saying, well, that was, you know, to make people think I'm talking debate, and then I go to Giants-Eagles, and then I thought, Bart, that's so stupid. Don't do it. But then what I did end up doing, because being on the radio, I had to, I played all the radio calls of Daniel Jones falling. So,
well, I mean, I think that's appropriate. It's more just like, because what that's going to do is shape out Daniel Jones sucks, like he tripped and fell, the butt fumble. Like, he actually played a really good game last night, and like, I'll be the first one to criticize him or any player, like Evan Engram, drop that pass, unbelievable. But, like, Daniel Jones was not the reason the Giants lost the game last night. And I feel like because of all these, it doesn't matter. I feel like, you know, even I sometimes get caught and feel like Twitter is not real life. I don't think that most people kind of, well, I guess, like a lot of sports programming kind of, like, judges what it does off of Twitter, which is insane. Yeah, Daniel Jones did not lose the game last night is my point, although that was a fairly embarrassing play.
I don't know why. I grew up here my whole life, but I've always liked watching the NFC East and them playing each other. I don't like as a Packer guy, I don't like watching NFC North games. I can't stand watching the Bears play the Lions or any combination of them with the Vikings. But I've always liked watching the NFC East games, and I kind of take it personal when everybody says, oh, the winner's going to only have 5 wins or 6 wins or whatever. I still think very strongly that if you win your division, you deserve a playoff spot, even if you only win 6 games. Now, do they deserve a home field advantage in game 1? We can talk about that, but I have no problem with your division winner coming out and getting into the playoffs, even if they only win 5, 6, 7 games. So with that being said, you've got another game to look at what we've seen in 6 weeks. Have we readjusted for you who you think is going to win this division? Because I think the popular answer is going to be Philly, but I don't think they're good. I don't trust Doug Peterson.
Who do you like then?
Well, I liked Dallas, and then I don't know what that was on Monday.
Yeah, man, I don't think Dallas can protect Indy. I think the Giants still have a chance. I actually think the Giants right now.
I think you're right.
I think the Giants might be the best team in the division. I think they've got the best defense in the division, and like Daniel Jones was good last night. So like, I mean, look, they blew the game, and like, I really like earnestly don't think this is like my fandom talking. I like sincerely think the Giants might be the best team in the division. Now, like when everyone's healthy, it's the Cowboys, like by a long shot. The problem is, of course, is that a lot of their good players are not in fact healthy. Like they made the Cardinal. You mentioned the game on Monday night. Like people that like maybe like casually watch the NFL that watch that game on Monday night may think like the Cardinals are like the 85 Bears on defense. Like their defense is not good. Like there is no pass rush on that team. Their best pass rusher is out for the season with a torn biceps and Chandler Jones. But the Cowboys made them look like the 2000 Ravens because they can't protect Andy Dalton right now because every offensive lineman that they have is hurt. The backups are hurt right now. Like, this was once like a top three, and not too long ago, like a top three offensive line in the NFL. I think there's a legitimate case to be made that right now, and like Zach Martin will hopefully get out of concussion protocol. They'll get the backup left tackle back, Brandon Knight or Brandon McKnight, the R&B singer, whatever, but I think that's his name. He'll be back at some point in the near future as well. But like for this week, you know, it's a bottom three offensive line up against Chase Young and the Washington football team defense, who, like, say what you want about that team, and I don't think they're very good. They got a lot of talented players in that front seven on defense. So, like, for that game specifically on Sunday, and that's been ping-ponging back and forth over at Bet Rivers, from Washington a short favorite to Dallas a short favorite. When this was Dallas minus three, like, there was Dallas cannot be favored in this game. Like, maybe the Cowboys close as a one-point favorite, and maybe that's when I'll bet on Washington will be on Sunday. Like, I would never bet Dallas in this spot. This is Washington or pass for me, because I don't think Dallas can keep Andy Dalton upright with this terrible offensive lineup against the Washington pass rush. So I actually kind of like Washington a little bit to further muddy the waters of the NFC East coming up on Sunday.
Talking with Nick Costos, you better you bet the Costos on Twitter. It's on the radio.com app. We'll get some of your other week seven thoughts and plays in a second here. The Packers, Texans, obviously I want to talk to you about that. I think there's two ways that people are looking at this game, either the Packers, because they got embarrassed, Aaron Rodgers is going to be motivated and throw all over Houston, whose defense isn't very good. I'm actually kind of worried about this game. I think the Packers win, but I don't think that it's going to be easy. I saw so much. Everything I saw in 4 weeks was so good with the Packers, but it all kind of got washed away in one game to me. There were so many problems that were exposed. How do you look at that game Sunday?
Well, I want to split the difference a little bit, because I do think that you are fair to have those concerns. And it's kind of what we saw from the Packers last year. And I think the Packers are better this year, so I don't want anyone to confuse what I'm saying. But that was like classic, like, 2019 Green Bay Packers. Like, you beat up on bad teams, and then you face elite competition like they did twice to the Niners, and you get absolutely thumped. So I do think that there is cause for concern there. I also think this Packers team is better, as evidenced by the Sunday night when they had in New Orleans over the Saints, which may not have happened last year. So I do think there's cause for concern there. As far as this game, like, I know that people are going to get caught up in, like, the narrative, right, which is, oh, well, they got embarrassed last week, ergo, they're going to come out and they're going to dominate on Sunday. But I do think that's true, but I don't think it's because they got embarrassed on Sunday. I would say it's because the Texans' defense is absolutely embarrassing. Like, they can't stop anybody. This defense is awful. Like, I think I said with you guys a couple weeks ago, like, okay, great, they fired Bill O'Brien. Like, do they all of a sudden, like, bring in the 86 Giants on defense? Like, no, like, the defense is atrocious. Like, they got clubbed last week by Derrick Henry and the Titans, which was obvious that that was going to happen. Couldn't stop Ryan Tannehill in the passing game. Couldn't stop Derrick Henry. You want to talk about a get-right spot here and, like, an eruption game? Like, how is Houston going to stop Aaron Jones? Like, the answer is I don't think they are. How is Houston going to stop Devontae Adams? I don't think it's going to happen here. So I don't know how I feel about the total, which is sky high here, 57. I do lean towards the over. And my co-host Ken Barkley, Lockie Lockerson on Twitter, he mathematically models these games. He's very sharp at the stuff, sharper than me when it comes to, like, that sort of thing. And he totaled this game at 60. And it's the first time in, like, I don't know, since he's been doing this for, like, 5 years, that he's ever totaled a game 60 or more. So there are going to be points in this game. And I think the Packers are going to score most of them. Like, Green Bay should literally score every time it has the ball on Sunday. I don't know if I could say the same thing for the Texans, because you put Jaire Alexander on Will Fuller, I think it really limits a lot of what they can do, and they can't run the ball at all with David Johnson. So this is a lay it or don't play it for me with the Packers, and I do think Green Bay wins and covers on Sunday.
Yeah, total continues to go up. Opened at 55.5. Now it's at 57. I'm going to hammer the over regardless. I mean, that thing could get up to 63, 64 points. I think there's going to be tons of points scored. What are your best bets this week, Nick? What are you looking at here early?
Well, I know Bart doesn't like to watch the NFC North teams, but we have to discuss. Actually, I kind of like the Bears on Monday night, but we can kind of that's not something I'm like willing to like put my money on.
I like watching them, but not when they play each other.
So like you watch Bears Patriots.
I watch Bears. But when they play each other, because normally it was like a Tom Brenneman or Dick Stockton game, and I'm just like, oh my god, I just am not into it. Not into it.
And Castellanos hits it out to left, and it's 4-0 Reds. But as far as the game with the Lions and the Falcons on Sunday, this is a game that I think you could watch and actually watch an NFC North team and enjoy with Detroit on Sunday, because I love the Lions. The Falcons opened as 3-point favorites. We said we do a segment on Mondays, if you'll allow me to, you know, shamelessly self-promote, which is my want. On Mondays, we do a segment called The Games Like We're Betting Already for the following week to come in the NFL. because we want people to get the best of the numbers. We bet the Lions on Monday plus 3. That is not to be braggadocious. That is more to be, well, maybe slightly braggadocious, but also like, hey, like, we love the Lions in this game. And I actually think Detroit's going to go into Atlanta and win this game outright. Lions are rolling a little bit right now coming out of the bye. I think they had the murderer's row schedule to start the season. And, of course, like a lot of blown leads in games that they should have won. But, like, Atlanta is not good. And please don't be confused by their win over the Vikings last week. Like, Minnesota literally waved the white flag on its season yesterday by trading Yannick Ngakoue to the Baltimore Ravens. So I think Detroit is better. I think Detroit goes into Atlanta. I like the Lions to win this game outright on Sunday. Provided that we get some positive injury information in Cleveland, I'm going to bet the Browns to beat the bet, to lay in the 3 on the road in Cincinnati. Bengals have major issues on that defensive line, both with player injuries and also guys are griping and are not happy and are not practicing, like Geno Atkins, chief among them here. I don't think they're going to be able to stop this Browns rushing attack. And whether it's Baker Mayfield or not doesn't make a difference to me. I don't really think it's a big downgrade from Baker to Case Keenum if indeed Baker's like ribs like present some sort of problem in game. I like the Browns on Sunday a little bit, laying the 3 on the road in Cincinnati. But again, like, need some injury information today on Friday before I'm ready to lock that pick in. The Sunday night game is Seattle and Arizona. I think anything above 3 is value for the home team, the Arizona Cardinals here. That line at Bet River is currently sitting Seattle minus 3.5. So I think Arizona is going to be a likely play for me, plus 3.5 on Sunday night football. I am going to bet the Jacksonville Jaguars on Sunday, and I don't like to do that. They're getting 7.5 on the road in L.A. against the Chargers. I think that line may actually go up because the Chargers have gotten some positive news in the injury report coming out of their bye. They may be getting some players back, notably former Packer Brian Bulaga on the offensive line. But this is less a bet on the Jaguars than it is against Anthony Lynn, who as a coach loves to play, loves to coach in close games. So like when the Chargers are a big underdog, we bet the Chargers, like Monday Night Football in New Orleans against the Saints. But when they are big favorites, we like to take the underdog here. So I'm going to, even though I don't really like Jacksonville and I think Minshew's terrible and another social media sensation, oh, it's so funny that he's got a mustache, or it's not, I will take the points with the Jaguars on Sunday. And if you'll allow me, guys, I don't know how much time we have here, but I can give you some good stuff on this Chiefs-Broncos total if you'd like, but I don't want to.
No, please do. I don't know how much time you got. You can talk till 8 if you want, our time.
Okay, great. It's 8:17 my time here, so a little bit of a time paradox here on the East Coast. I like that. So this is what people need to know about this Chiefs-Broncos game coming up on Sunday. So the line hasn't been affected. This is a 4:25 p.m. Eastern, 3:25 p.m. Central kickoff on Sunday. Broncos hosting the Chiefs. So the line has not been affected yet. Kansas City's holding a 10-point favorite on the road over at the Bet River Sportsbook, but this total has dropped nearly 4 points. 49.5 at open, currently sitting at 46. For people that don't know yet, there is snow expected in the forecast coming up on Sunday in Denver. So we have seen this total come down with those reports, right? Now, I am a amateur meteorologist, as I think most meteorologists are, he professional or otherwise. And, you know, just looking at the weather reports for this game, I'm seeing that the wind is not expected to be terrible. Like, when you have an inclement weather game, you always want to look at wind, unless it's, like, driving rain or, like, driving snow, and that may not be the case on Sunday here. Wind is really the determining factor that can, like, screw up a passing game and keep games under the total and really, like, wreck offensive game plans. Right now, from what I've seen, the wind is expected to be, like, in between 8 and 11 miles per hour. So here's what I'm going to do on Sunday, because when people see the visuals on either social media or television on Sunday, this total is only going in one direction. Like, it's only going to go down. People are only going to bet the under when they see the snow on the ground on Sunday. So provided, again, that this is not a winter wonderland, and it's like when you see it, you're like, oh, my God, like, legitimately, how is anyone going to move the ball or have footing in this game here? And provided that the wind is not extreme, like 15 miles per hour or greater, you got two quarterbacks with strong arms with Locke and Mahomes who both want to zing it down the field here. So I'm going to wait until like a minute before kickoff. So for you guys out there, 3:24 p.m. Eastern coming up on Sunday. And if the snow isn't terrible and the wind isn't terrible, we're going to wait, and we're going to wait right before kickoff, and we're going to get the best number, and we're going to go over the total here because I think we could see a lot of points. Broncos showed you in the draft, like the Raiders did, that they're going to try and score with Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs over the course of the next decade. Raiders taking Henry Ruggs and then Brian Edwards. The Broncos with Jerry Jeudy and then the speedster out of Penn State who's going to be back in this game. Haven't seen him since week 3 with the hamstring, KJ Hamler. So I think we see points on Sunday, provided, of course, the weather holds up a little bit. So give me the over on Sunday, but we're going to wait until right before kickoff to put that in.
That's smart. I feel like every time there is a snow game, the wind's a good thing to look at it. It's normally It's like normal. It's just there's snow. Big deal. I like the strategy. Nick Kostos, You Better You Bet, radio.com app. We appreciate your time. We will talk to you soon.
Looking forward to it, guys. Wishing you and, of course, the great people of Wisconsin minimal sweats winning bets in the absolute very best of luck.
That's Nick Kostos. He joins us Fridays at 7 our time here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, throughout the country. You can get us on, I'm holding up my phone and pointing to it, the radio.com app. And that's where you can listen to Nick exclusively. You better, you bet.
A lot of great gambling betting content on there. You got Nick Kostos and the You Better, You Bet guys. And then I really like Bet Sweats as well with Joe Ostrowski and Ross Tucker. Tucker with the day off today, I know, because he was on the call, but also a good show. So if you're looking for some good wagers.
Oops.
Is that the radio.com app plan?
Yeah, I just opened it. I probably shouldn't be doing this on the air.
Well, it's okay because while you were talking to Nick, because I've already placed all my wagers, I was actually getting caught up on the latest Saved by the Bell podcast. So did you know that when Jesse got caught up on the diet pills, that in real life, she actually did not get caught up with diet pills? If that makes sense.
Good.
Yeah, they went over that in the podcast. Like, because people thought, you know, like they were like coming to her, like, hey, do you got an issue? And she's like, no, I'm good. It's a character on TV. And then later on, she did the movie Showgirls. I don't know where that comes in, but just figured I'd bring it up.
Well, you know, you were mentioning that you wanted to watch Borat with your wife and
tonight.
You know, we do, my wife and I, like, so what do you want to do this weekend? What are you hoping for?
Where are we watching the Badgers? Yeah.
Yeah, where are we watching the Badgers?
Badges.
But I think because the Badger game's tonight, so we'll have our kind of, date night-ish of course, on Saturday. But what we're going to do, a lot of couples like to do dinner and a movie.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We like to do dinner and radio.com.
Oh, yeah, yeah, me too.
So we'll eat dinner and we'll get, like, one of the music channels going.
Yeah.
Maybe the country station out of Detroit or whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever,
I like the alternative station out of Oregon.
Oh, very good.
I like that you're broken like me. Sorry.
But then I think we're going to listen to,
Well, you got the TikTok girls got a pod on there. And then there's
burned through those.
Oh, have you heard the true crime one? I reckon I stabbed a man in Virginia back in 1966. Hear the true tale of Mark Davis's crimes. Crimes that have never been solved. I just walked right into that saloon. Billie Jean was there and she was serving up them drinks and a man looked at me with a crooked eye. I walked up to him and stabbed him cold-blooded in the heart.
I think on Saturday there's this podcast called Solvable. Where they take a problem and then talk through how to solve it.
Yep.
I think the one we're going to listen to is Widespread Poverty is Solvable.
Oh.
On Saturday. And also, Youth Unemployment is Solvable.
Well, give me the spark notes on that one.
Maybe. And Child Marriage is Solvable.
Child Marriage?
Yeah, these are all on this podcast. It's called Solvable.
Okay.
And it's on the radio.com app. So you can check that all out. Radio.com. We're going to do a radio.com date night, my wife and I, coming up on Saturday. That's where you can listen to us. Long story short, Bart Winkler, Ryan Horst.
Splash right now.
And good morning from the 1250 AM The Fan Sports Update Studio. I'm Ryan Horvath. First on The Fan, the Packers now just 2 days away from taking on the Houston Texans. Kickoff is at noon. We'll have the Green and Gold postgame show immediately following the game with former Packer and Badger Gary Ellerson as well as Bill Michaels. Week 7 kicked off last night with the Philadelphia Eagles rallying past the New York Football Giants 22-21. Carson Wentz threw for 359 yards, 2 touchdowns in the victory. Big Ten football officially begins tonight with the 14th-ranked Badgers hosting Illinois. Kickoff scheduled for 7 p.m. on the Big Ten Network. Wisconsin opens up as 9.5-point favorites. Also announced yesterday, the Big Ten will determine whether to cancel games this year based on COVID-19 testing positivity rates within a team. If a game cannot be played, it'll be deemed a no contest. There'll be no makeup dates. Season begins tonight again with Wisconsin taking on Illinois. They're going to attempt to play an 8-game conference season in 8 weeks, plus a 9th game for all 14 teams during Big Ten Championship Week, the weekend of December 19th. In order to compete in the Big Ten Championship game, a team must play at least 6 games according to conference tiebreaker rules that were also released yesterday. On the Diamond World Series Game 3 tonight, 7 p.m., with the Dodgers and Rays tied at 1 game apiece, Walker Buehler gets the ball for Los Angeles while Charlie Morton gets the start for the Rays. The update brought to you by Toro Snowblowers. For grizzly winters, you need a Toro Power Max snowblower. It's a beast on snow, and if you act now, you get up to $100 off on select Toro Power Max snowblowers. See your Toro retailer now and win winter with a Toro. I'm Ryan Horvath, Sports Radio 1250 AM The Fan. Coming up this hour, we are going to talk some Badgers football with Ben Wargle and take your Packers-Texans predictions. 414-799-1250. All coming up on the Bart Winkler Morning Show here on 1250 AM The Fan.
Now, a green and gold update brought to you by Concordia University, Wisconsin Veterans Services Department. Learn how to use your military benefits at cuw.edu/veterans. In Green Bay, here's Mike Clemens.
It's the Packers and the Texans Sunday at NRG Stadium, kickoff at noon. At 1-5, the Texans may be looking to rebuild and trade some veterans for future draft picks. Former Packer wide receiver Randall Cobb was asked if he ever could have imagined being traded by the Texans after just signing last spring.
I don't think it was anything that I could have ever imagined. Whenever I signed here, Coach O'Brien was going into his 7th, 8th year here. He's built a foundation here, and having playoff runs, I could have never imagined that things would be sitting at 1-5 and he wouldn't be our head coach right now. That's just this league, and crazier things happen in this business since I've been in it. I bought a house here, so I planned on being here for the long haul. So, you know, we'll see.
In Green Bay, with Alan Lazard still out for the next several weeks, will the Packers make a move at wide receiver before the trading deadline a week from next Tuesday? Matt LaFleur.
I think they're still outside of Devontae. There's still a lot of young players there that are, you know, are progressing, and we need them to continue to get better each and every day.
Best Packers coverage on 1250 AM, The Fan.
Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath, good morning. We'll talk some Badger football. They've got Illinois tonight. Big Ten coming out and saying if there's a game that can't be played, it's a no contest. We're not going to reschedule it. We can't. We're trying to play 8 games in 8 weeks. And then the championship weekend for week 9, there's not really any room to move it. We're not going to make a team forfeit. It's just going to be a no contest. So we'll see how things play out during this continuing pandemic. Big Ten does start tonight, though, and that will be with the Badgers and Illinois to kick off the season. A lot of good college football again this weekend. It'll be nice to watch the Badgers tonight. Again, no fans in attendance. We'll see what impact that has. Graham Mertz to get the start at quarterback. Ben Wargle will join us in about 13 minutes. BadgerBlitz.com to help us preview the game tonight. There are some teams in the NFL getting better. The Ravens, one of them, trading for Unique Ngakoue. The Vikings traded for him. Now they've traded him away, the defensive lineman. And it looks like the Ravens are also going to get Dez Bryant to play for them. So the Ravens making a push. 414-799-1250, 799-1250. You guys can chime in throughout the show. We go to Jersey. Big Ron on the East Coast. What's up, Big Ron?
Happy Badger opening day, guys.
Yeah, you drunk yet?
I'm still drunk from last night, actually.
Excellent.
Big Ron, I'm on the under tonight in the Badger game, but I see all the sharps on the over. Am I the idiot or are they? Who's scoring 54 points tonight between Wisconsin and Illinois, man?
I think the sharps. I love betting against the sharps, man. I think they're the idiot. I like the under. You know, I think the Badgers got a good defense. They got a lot of guys coming back, and they got a lot of young guys that they've been bragging about.
And that's the thing, man. Mertz's first start, like if they hang 60 on the board, I won't complain. I'll take that loss, but I just don't see that many points being scored tonight, man. I don't know what the weather's going to look like. We'll see.
Yeah, you should ask Ben Wargle about Mertz. I guess I was listening to a podcast that Wargle was on, and he was saying he interviewed Mertz like on a Zoom call, and that Mertz is pretty cocky dude.
Really? I like that though, man.
Yeah. Ask him about that, you know.
I will ask.
I like it too, you know. You got to have confidence to succeed as an athlete.
My favorite quarterbacks, man, in college history, Johnny Manziel. I'll never forget when he came back from his 2-game suspension and he was doing the signed autograph, signed to people. I like my quarterback to be a little cocky, man. That's probably why I love Rodgers so much. I don't want somebody in there scared. That's when you get into Mitch Trubisky.
I'll never forget that when Manziel beat Alabama. That was one of the happiest days of my life.
Same here. It was one of the best moments.
I think he had Mike Evans on that team.
He did. That was his go-to guy. Yep, they were best friends at A&M. Yep.
Yeah, Mike Evans just ran all over Alabama that game.
So
I remember
awesome.
That well. Yeah.
That was awesome.
So, touch on a couple topics. I'll be watching the Badger game from Fairfield Inn in Philly. I got to take my kid down to a hockey tournament tonight.
Oh,
so
fun.
I'll be watching the game from, yeah.
And you should get Big Ten Network out there because Rutgers.
New York's football team.
Yeah.
Well, you know, in hotels, you know, it's always sketchy. So I did do some research. And
I guess also Penn State. But
yeah. I did some research, and I guess you can stream it on Fox. Sports.com.
So you can, I'm
So I'll stream it if I can't find it anywhere. So that's where I'm watching the game. My favorite athlete turned politician is Jesse the Body Ventura, and my favorite Jesse nice. The Body Ventura moment is him in the first Predator movie.
Oh yeah,
yeah. And I'm with Horvy, man. You guys should be playing Build Me a Buttercup for your bumper music.
I know.
All day.
I know.
Yeah.
He told me he was going to give it to me. I don't want to hear Jumper. I'm not. I'm not like that. I'm not a jump around guy, man. I wasn't a House of Pain guy, you know. But I love Build Me a Buttercup.
Yeah,
there's a good punk version of it.
Yeah, I think that's actually a better Badger tradition. I mean, you watch the game on TV, you can hear the whole stadium singing that song after Jump Around. And the other Badger tradition that's underrated is when they do the multiple waves. When they do the fast wave, the slow wave, the reverse wave, and the split wave.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
that's the only good wave at any sporting event.
My two college football teams, so the Badgers, my favorite tradition, Build Me Up Buttercup. My other favorite team, Notre Dame, my favorite tradition is going undefeated only to be clubbed by a good team in the college football playoff, Alabama, Clemson, et cetera.
Who's Notre Dame got this week?
Notre Dame has this weekend. That is actually a great question that I should know since I'm a
I'm
fan of.
I'm surprised you don't know, Harvey. I figured.
Yeah,
you
know. Wow. Well, are you a poser?
No, I'm not. I'm all screwed up now that the Wake Forest game got canceled. They play this weekend. So Wake Forest was postponed. They got Pittsburgh this weekend. They got Louisville. No, they just beat Louisville. They got Pittsburgh.
They beat Louisville. Yeah.
They got Pittsburgh. 2:30 p.m.
They struggled with Louisville. I bet the first half over on the first half spread on Notre Dame.
Oh, on Notre Dame, and it was 12-7. Yeah, I was tweeting at them angry. Yeah, they got Pittsburgh, and then they got Georgia Tech, and then they got Clemson in 3 weeks. In 2 weeks.
Yeah,
so 3 weeks.
Yeah. Game.
Yep. Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that Notre Dame Clemson game. So 3 Badger predictions. I think I really think Graham Mertz is going to have the best season since Russell Wilson at quarterback for the Badgers. I think a 4-star recruit out of here in Jersey, Jalen Berger, will be the starting running back come the end of the season. And I think the Badgers will win the Big Ten West.
I agree with the Big Ten West for sure. I think I agree with all of them. And to celebrate your great Badger predictions, I just wanted to play for you a little bit of the foundations, if you don't mind.
We got to do the Mallrats version of that, too.
Big Ron, enjoy your weekend, bud. Enjoy Philly.
You too, guys.
See you, Ron.
Have a good one. That's Big Ron in Jersey. I got to tell you, I really do mean this. As when I was in college, and I went to lacrosse, but I went to a lot of Badger games, and I went to Madison for the weekend. And this is, I don't know what's fine to say anymore or not. I mean, I was underage, I was drinking.
Who cares?
But the weekends when I'd go to Madison, and Friday night I'd get in about 8 o'clock, and, you know, you'd play catch up, and then Saturday you're up at 7, and there's a kegger of Bud Light already and you're struggling and then you're at the game and you leave because who cares? And then
who cares?
You just, you go all day. You just have this feeling as of invincibility to you. I miss that.
Yeah.
That was half my lifetime ago.
I know. I miss those days too, man. I miss them. And you don't bounce back like that. Like you said, you'd play catch up. And then Saturday morning, though, you'd be ready to go.
And then Sunday, you're up at 7:30 and you're driving back home and you're fine.
Hungover, though. I don't know. I was always hungover.
Maybe stop at the Pilot in Mauston.
See, Sundays were always
throw up behind the Taco Bell Wendy's.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 Get a little Wendy's and you'd be good. Get a little breakfast. You're always good. A little grease. A little hair of the dog.
Yeah,
that never worked for me. That would just, you know, continue into a what I like to call a bender.
So where are you watching the game?
And with whom?
And are you tailgating?
And are you going to the mall later on today?
And are you going to go to Madison just to soak up the atmosphere? I think I'm going to go. Let's see, what time is it now? It's 7:39.
Yep.
The game starts at 7 o'clock tonight.
You should, to be fair, you should be in your seat right now.
Well, what I'm going to do, I don't have a ticket to the game, unfortunately, and I did not get a cardboard cutout yet. They have those tonight. I'm actually going to drive to Madison.
All you got to do is drive?
And I'm going to sit in the Rocky Rococo's parking lot.
Yeah, there you go.
And I'm going to, as Ron said, I'm going to watch the game on my Fox Sports Go app.
Okay.
So I'll be right outside of Camp Randall.
Nice.
So that's where I'm going to watch the game, and then I'm going to come back home and that's it. But that's where I'm going to watch the game tonight. My prediction doesn't matter. It just matters if I enjoy myself, where I'm going to watch it, and all that stuff. Because we're going to have Ben Wergel on here in a minute, and he covers the Badgers. I could ask him about Graham Mertz and all that stuff. I just kind of want to know, where is he watching the game, and what's he eating for?
And who's he watching it with?
And who's he watching it with? Bart Winkler. Ryan Horvath. Windows Select, 262-703-3500, 262-703-3500, 262-703-3500, windowselect.com. Check them out. They've got the free installation deal. It is lasting until the end of the week, which is today. So it lasts until the end of the week, which is today. Make sure you get it on the books. Give them a call, at least schedule it. Let them know that you heard about them on The Fan. What they will do for you is install windows, siding, and doors. The highest quality windows that you'll be able to find. High quality, energy efficient. They take a tremendous amount of pride in making sure that your windows are up to that standard. They back it all with a double lifetime warranty. A double lifetime warranty. So you know these windows are going to be durable. A lot of the homes that they come and do jobs in, I mean, when do you think about installing new windows? It's something you just, the windows are there. But a lot of these homes are older, and new windows do enhance the home in a lot of different ways, whether it is resale value, just the feeling, the look of a new home. It's more comfortable, more cozy, and really the heating costs too. When I talk about energy efficient, I know it's getting colder. The heating cost is going to go down because your windows are going to be more energy efficient, which means you're going to keep that air in the home. So the windows are of the highest quality, all backed with the double lifetime warranty. But again, as I mentioned, free installation this week. Give them a call. Buy one, get one free on the windows. Buy one, get one free. And you don't have to pay them anything for 12 months. They make this as affordable as it can be. And again, the products are amazing. They all back it as well. Windowselect.com, 262-703-3500, 262-703-3500. Where is Ben Wergel watching the game? We'll find out next.
What do you build me up, buttercup, baby, just to let me down? I messed you around, and then worst of all, you never thought, baby, when you say you will. But I love you still, I need you more than anyone, darling. You know that I have from the start. So build me up, buttercup, don't break my heart.
12:50 a.m. The Fan, Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath. Badgers tonight against Illinois. I believe it's the latest they've started a season since the last pandemic, the flu of 1918. Ben Wergel joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. The Badger Nation on Twitter, badgerblitz.com. Ben, I'm not sure if you saw my hilarious joke, but I know that since there's no fans in the stands, they're doing cardboard cutouts. And to satisfy all of us in Wisconsin Sports Radio, the Badgers have promised they're actually not going to put the student cardboard cutouts out until the middle of the second quarter.
Good morning. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I think that would help Wisconsin, the players, I think, really get used to the situation at hand.
I mean, is it going to be how? I don't know. A lot of these guys, they probably played in some raucous high school crowds, and we ask this with every sport, and it seems like playing in front of the fans, it's weird at first, and then they get used to it. It will be a little different, I think, for me as a viewer, because I've been watching all this college football, and you watch these SEC games, and it's like they say it's 15% capacity. It sure looks like 80,000 people. How big of an impact does Paul Chris think this is going to be with no fans tonight?
I think they've downplayed it. I mean, you know, Wisconsin's always been about a program that control what you can control, and you really can't control anything going on with this virus. No one can. So you just kind of have to embrace what the situation is going to be. And I think the defensive players have talked about BYOJ, bring your own juice, get yourself excited, get your unit excited, make some plays to get your sideline excited, and kind of feed off that. You know, it's going to go both ways. I mean, we've seen it kind of with the Packers too. You don't have that distinct advantage of Lambeau Field, that home crowd, but then when you go into New Orleans or you go into Minnesota, that crowd's not there against you. So, you know, it's gonna even out here over the next several weeks. Wisconsin's not going to have to deal with that next week in Lincoln or in 2 weeks in the Big House. But, you know, night games at Camp Randall have been, you know, special environments. You know, players have talked about them. Recruits have come here because they've taken official visits to Wisconsin for a night game, and they've seen what the atmosphere is like. So, you know, normally a night game to open the season, this would be kind of an all-day party here in Madison. And, you know, they're going to really be cracking down on any gatherings of, you know, more than 10 people inside, 25 people outside. And it's going to have a weird vibe walking to the stadium tonight, without question.
Do you almost think no fans in attendance might be a good thing as Graham Mertz makes his first start, maybe less pressure? Or do you think maybe it's a bad thing, or it just doesn't not matter at all?
I think it's indifferent. I think Mertz will tell you it doesn't matter. I'm sure Mertz would tell you that he would love to have 80,000 people cheering him on and cheering the offense on. But, you know, I think the communication will be maybe a little bit easier, but
right.
I don't think it's really going to matter all that much. You know, this is going to be very interesting on a number of fronts here with this game tonight, because there are so many unknowns with this Wisconsin team. You know, usually we in the media have seen a lot of fall camp practices, and we kind of get a gauge of, you know, who are some of the surprise players and position battles. You know, we don't know anything, really. I mean, we know what we see on paper. What we see on paper is this is going to be a very good team defensively. They return 8 of 11 starters. They return some key pieces to kind of fill in those vacant starting spots. And offensively, there's a lot of unknowns with this team. I mean, the really only thing you know is what you're going to get from Jake Ferguson and your left tackle, Cole Van Lannen. Other than that, everything else is kind of up in the air. I mean, you maybe have an idea a little bit what Graham Mertz is going to bring, what the running back unit's going to be, but until you actually see it against another team, you really can't be 100% sure what this offense is going to look like, other than it's going to look vastly different than what it has looked like the past couple of years.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted to ask you. Do you think there will be any type of learning curve? Like, do you see the Badgers jumping out and scoring, putting 40 on the board tonight, or do you think that it's going
to
take a couple? No? Okay, because a guy, I know he bets, and he took the under, and he wanted to know if it was a good bet or not. I didn't know if you think this offense is capable of putting up big points tonight. Like, what do you think we see tonight from this offense? Just kind of like the first half especially, just kind of trying to get used to each other?
I mean, I think it has to be kind of that. I mean, the only good thing about Cohen's injury is that it happened somewhat early in camp, that Wisconsin's had some time with Mertz to work on the first team offense. Like, this just didn't happen last week. This happened a couple weeks ago, and then Mertz has had a bunch of scrimmages in practice and a bunch of other things that to try to simulate game experiences. But you know, that can only go so far until you're actually out there with another team's jersey and those guys really trying to hurt you and stop you. You really can't be too sure what your unit's going to be. And I think for every team, there's going to be somewhat of a feeling out policy. So it's really going to, this early in the season, especially with no non-conference games, especially with the weird schedule, it's going to favor the strengths of teams. And tonight, it's really going to be the kind of Illinois' offense against Wisconsin's defense. I think that's where the real battle is going to lie. And I think on the flip side, Illinois has a really good secondary, and they have some real talent in the front seven. Maybe it's a little bit unproven, but their secondary is really good. So that's going to challenge this Wisconsin team a little bit. It's going to challenge this passing offense. So I think for the most part early on, we're going to see a lot of games in the mid to high 20s. I can't see a lot of shootouts. So, of course, Mertz is going to light the world on fire tonight, throw 6 touchdown passes, and they're going to give him the Heisman via Zoom after the game. I mean, it's just so hard to predict just because it's been such a weird offseason.
We've talked a little bit about Graham Mertz with you. I think everybody's excited to see what he looks like in the full-time role. I'm intrigued to see how the running back shares get dealt out. You know, they say Garrett Groshek is like the front guy. I have a hard time seeing him get 20 carries a game. I've read a lot of good stuff about Jalen Berger, even Watson. Do you have a prediction for how it gets broken out tonight with carries?
I think it's going to be very, very balanced. I think that Wisconsin is not going to be a team this year that's going to rely on one guy carrying the ball 20-plus times a game like they have the last couple of years in Jonathan Taylor. I agree with you, Bart. I don't see Garrett Groshek kind of filling that role. I see that this team be kind of like a running back committee approach to a degree. I think you're going to see a lot of Garrett Groshek. And Groshek has proven to be a very, you know, capable player with his ability outside of tackles and in the flat pass catching. We really haven't seen him, though, with a lot of success between the tackles and really have that sustained. You know, Nakia Watson, the staff has been really high on him for the last couple of years, but Watson's more of a bruiser. He's more of a between-the-tackles guy. Doesn't have really great top-end speed. Can he be the one that can break things to the outside the way Jonathan was able to do so well with just his quick cut and his vision? And then the number three back, they're kind of looking at Isaac Arendo, who came as a wide receiver, really good track athlete. He's got a lot of speed. He's trying to, you know, find his niche at Wisconsin. We haven't heard a lot from Jalen Berger yet. It'd be interesting to see kind of where Berger fits in this team, if he's going to be a, you know, five carry a guy at the start, if we're not going to see him at all. So that's a huge unknown too with this team, because you know, you lose a player in Taylor who did so many things really, really well, and last year brought that element of the pass catching sense to his game, just the complete tailback for Wisconsin. This year they're going to need a couple of those guys to kind of fill in and try to complete that piece of the pie what Taylor was able to do so well.
A lot of questions because we haven't seen anything yet, and again, we haven't seen Mertz in extended play, and you know, there's new guys at the running back position, and there's, I mean, it's college football, there's new guys all over, yet looking at the schedule, I feel like the Big Ten West is, I know everything's weird this year, but I feel like it's close to a layup. What would have to go wrong for them not to get to that championship game?
Well, I agree with you. I think the Big Ten West this year doesn't really strike fear into anyone. I think that, you know, these two games to start with against West opponents will be very interesting. I think this Illinois team that beat Wisconsin a year ago in Champaign, and they were 31-point underdogs in that game, I think that Illinois can test Wisconsin tonight. I'd be very surprised if Wisconsin just ran away with this one. And then the game next week in Lincoln, too. I mean, who knows what you're going to get with Nebraska. Nebraska, under Scott Frost, has kind of been an underachieving program. Actually, Nebraska has been an underachieving program since they arrived in the Big Ten over a decade ago. So I think if Wisconsin can kind of get through these two games, that's going to be a really good, you know, cushion start for them, because I think maybe those are their two best challengers. I don't know what Minnesota is going to bring to the table. Their defense is kind of suspect. And that Iowa game at the end of the year on December 12th is going to be very interesting as well. But what will have to go wrong? I think the defense not living up to expectations, and the defense not playing up to their capabilities. This unit should be really good. It should be one of the best defenses in the country this year across all spectrums, total defense, scoring defense, rush and pass defense. It should be really, really good. And if they're not, and they're kind of letting teams run all over them, I don't think this Wisconsin group this year, at least at this point, is capable of playing in shootout games and winning them. So if you can keep the score low, if you can, you know, hold teams under 20 points like this group thinks they can do, I think Wisconsin could have a really successful regular season.
A lot of good stuff at BadgerBlitz.com. Some really good compliment to writers. Make sure you check it out. Subscribe, Ben Wergel being one of them, the Badger Nation on Twitter. Ben, appreciate your time. We will talk to you again next week.
All right, thanks, guys.
Ben Wergel joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Again, check out BadgerBlitz.com. If you're applying for a home renovation loan and you're a bit anxious, that's all right, breathe. Great Midwest Bank is going to help you experience a state of tranquility. Get started at GreatMidwestBank.com. We'll hear from Devontae Adams And we like to ask a bunch of different questions when we preview Packer games. We went into the bag of creativity for what we've got for you coming up. This ain't just your what's the score going to be question and answer. No, no. Stay tuned for that next.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.